Well, now it's time to welcome back Carl Merry. And Carl, I think you've got yet another horror story for us this week, haven't you?
It's not so much of a horror story, but it is another dragon story from Essex, yes.
Right, let's hear the story then.
The story of the Glass Knight. The fruit had been rotting on trees for some time. Birds had been falling dead from the sky. And the people blamed the dragon. "It's the dragon," farmers said. "It's that foul breath. It kills everything, beast and vegetation." Well, the sheriff of Saffron Walden was called for, well, he was the most important man in the vicinity, and was asked to do something about this. Well, he didn't know how to deal with dragons, and he didn't know what sort of dragon he was dealing with. What he did know was there was a wise woman living on the outskirts of Saffron Walden. And so he went to see her, and she asked questions like, "What does it look like?" "Well," the man would say, it has the head and claws of a rooster, the forked tongue of a serpent, and the wings, well, very like a bat." "And what colour is its body?" the wise woman asked. "Every shade of black and yellow, and it has a white spot like a crown on its head." "And the colour of its eyes?" "Oh, I did not look in its eyes," the sheriff said. "I knew it," said the old woman. "I knew it. It's a basilisk. Never look into the eyes of a basilisk, or you will die, be turned to stone, and die. Well, you must find a brave knight, someone who will kill this basilisk for you, cut off its head, destroy it. But you must warn the knight what it is he will be fighting, for he too cannot look into the eyes of a basilisk. No one can and live." Well, a knight was not easy to find. Well, not once you told them what they had to fight. Knight after knight turned down the job. People went to see this dragon, this basilisk. Outside its lair they would wait until it came out, and too many of them looked in its eyes and all died. Finally a brave knight was found, and he agreed to kill the basilisk. But the night before the day appointed for the great battle, he tossed and he turned in his bed, trying to think of a way in which he might defeat this creature without looking into its eyes. Finally, in the early hours of the morning, it came to him. And when he entered the village the next morning, he was seen to be wearing a suit of armour made of crystal. It reflected everything around him, and he walked up towards the basilisk's lair. He walked through the stream towards its lair, and the basilisk came out, leapt into the stream, faced the knight, and saw its own reflection, and fell dead. The head was cut off with the knight's sword, and he was proclaimed a hero. And the sword, well, in time it was hung in the church, where an effigy of the basilisk was set up in brass to commemorate this event. Unfortunately, such images were destroyed during the Civil War by the Puritans, as many things were destroyed in the churches of Essex. And so the effigy of the basilisk and the knight's sword are no more, gone forever.
Well, Carl, that's there's a similarity there, is there not?
With
the other dragon, because of the reflection.
That's
so obviously
right.
We now know how to deal with these things if we meet them today.
That's true. It's quite a common story. I mean, the great story of the Lambton Worm from up in the north of the country.
Right.
When you cut the Lambton Worm, it just regenerates. But the knight fights him in the middle of a river with armour with swords and knives sticking out
yes.
over it. So as soon as the lambkin worm wraps itself round it, cuts itself in pieces, and the river washes away the pieces, and it can never reconnect itself. So it's a common enough theme.
Well, it's a good job we now know how to deal with these things. So what have you got lined up for us next week?
Well, it's called The Highwayman and the Fairies. So it's on a lighter note.
Right. Okay. We should definitely look forward to that. Thank you very much indeed.